This show is presented by ERN, your source for premier entertainment on the web and on the air.
Well, you're listening to Popular Science Radio. My name is Alan Taylor. We're here every week talking about science, technology, health, all kinds of interesting stuff that's happening in our world. Right now, it's 3D printing. Our show is brought to you in part by Bridgestone. They're passionate about making tires that you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone Tires. Our guest is John Hornick. He is the author of 3D Printing Will Rock the World. And it's a book that's out. You can find it on Amazon or on Kindle or on the website, 3DPrintingWillRockTheWorld.com. John, coming back to you. There's so many interesting things about this. And it really, I believe, is a world-changing technology. The fact that it's consumer-friendly, the way that they have kind of opened this whole thing up to the consumers. It's also called additive manufacturing. Why do they call it additive manufacturing versus 3D printing?
Well, you know, there's kind of a distinction that people make in the industry between additive and subtractive. The way things have been made for years, you know, in the whole Industrial Revolution is that you have a block of metal, for example, and you cut it and you mill it and you drill it until you have the final part. And so you're subtracting material.
Right.
Now, with 3D printing, you start off with an empty platform and then you start adding material layer by layer by layer until you have a finished part. So you're adding up the part from basically from nothing to something.
And then it's interesting. I remember when I was learning how to weld back in just after high school in junior college. And every now and then you'd blow a hole through and the guy would say, all right, now you got to fill it back up. And it's not always easy to do that. And it takes a certain technique and you have to do it right. And I think that, you know, it's something that, you know, this what you'll call additive manufacturing or 3D printing has been around for a long time, I'm assuming. How long has it been around?
Well, the technology was first invented. There's several different types of technology here, but it was basically first invented in the 80s.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was used mostly for prototyping, so it was called rapid prototyping. Mm-hmm. It's really only been within the past several years that people have started talking about 3D printing, and it really kind of took off when President Obama mentioned 3D printing in his 2013 State of the Union address.
Mm.
Before that, you know, you heard mostly about rapid prototyping. Since then, you hear mostly about 3D printing.
How about the fact that you have the difference between, you know, genuine products and now the ability to knock off those genuine products? Will it ever, you know, will this 3D printing revolution ever make genuine products maybe more valuable or meaningless? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's funny that you say that because I have a whole chapter about that in the book, and I do question whether 3D printing could eventually make the concept of a genuine part meaningless, because, you know, a company could be making the part, or they could be having a fabricator make it for them, or they might just be selling the design, and they might sell the design to you, they might make it available on the internet, and then one of hundreds or one of thousands of different fabricators could print out that part, and maybe they modify it. And one of the strengths of 3D printing is customization. So maybe they customize it because the company wants them to, or maybe they customize it without the company wanting them to. So you wind up with a whole mishmash of parts. You don't know where they came from. You don't know who made them.
Mm.
Maybe they're made according to specifications. Maybe they're not. So right. I think that there could come a time when the question of what's genuine or, you know, what is a genuine part, that really becomes kind of a meaningless question.
What about, I notice, and I got about 2.5 minutes left here, and I'm going to ask you a lot of questions, but sure. The disruption checklist in your book.
Well, yeah, I think this is a disruptive technology, and for it to be really disruptive, there are certain things that have to fall into place, and that's the disruption checklist. And, you know, one of them is you have to be able to make big things. You have to be able to make really, really small things so you can print circuitry. You have to be able to have hybrid materials.
Mm.
You have to be able to make things fast and make a lot of them. You have to have innovators.
Be precise.
So there's certain things that have to fall into place to have this disruption.
Yeah.
And they are falling into place.
Yeah. It's interesting to watch, too. Is there a dark side to 3D printing?
Well, yeah, you've probably heard about Cody Wilson, who 3D printed a gun in 2013 that was made of plastic, so it wasn't detectable by a metal detector. And so that scared a lot of people. There are also some criminals out there who have used 3D printers to make false fronts for ATM machines. So, you know, they stick it on the front of the machine. You think you're putting your card into the machine. You're really putting it into a false front. It's collecting your data.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, there's definitely a dark side. But I think that the potential benefits of the technology really far outweigh the negative things that you can do with it.
Yeah. All right. Final thoughts on 3D printing will rock the world. Your book and the whole industry. And I mean, it seems like you're pretty pro 3D printing here.
Oh, I am, definitely. And I mean, for a final thought, I would say I think what's great that's being done with this technology now is we're getting it into schools. And, the kids are starting to grow up with the technology, and the technology is growing up with the kids.
Right.
And it's being used not just to teach kids how to use the machines, but it's being used to teach STEAM education. It's being used to teach math. You can print out a model, for example, of a geometric model. So you can use it really to teach any kind of subject.
Yep. I happen to think it's very cool. 3D printing will rock the world. That is his book, John Hornick. Put a .com on the end of it. You can also find it at Amazon and or on Kindle. Coming up next, we're going to talk about The Nest. Have you heard about The Nest? John, thank you very much. You're listening to...
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Appreciate that. It's Popular Science Radio. Be right back. You know, the summer light
seems to shine in your blush. This show is presented in part by Subaru. Love. It's what makes Subaru a Subaru. We'll be right back.